All right, good afternoon. It is about 12 o'clock on a Friday. And thank you for returning everyone to, you know, restarting our podcast here on discipling. And we are in chapter 5. It's been a few weeks since we've sat down and had a conversation as we have been talking about this book, Discipling by Mark Dever. So thank you for everyone that's been patient. We're going to continue today. We read and talked through chapter 4 last time, and we're going to continue now in chapter 5, and we're going to talk about the local church. So this is obviously something that is very exciting for us. You know, the whole reason why we are going through this book about discipling is to understand how we can, you know, do good and encourage one another to follow Jesus Christ in the church. And so to have a chapter specifically devoted to the local church, mm-hmm. I know that last time we were even anticipating, you, Isaiah, right? Like we were thinking about we would even spill over our time last time into this chapter. So here we are.
But weirdly enough, we found ourselves having enough to say.
Yeah, we had enough to say. Yeah. Shock. And we have so much more. I think, yeah, I don't think that 45 minutes, 50 minutes is going to be enough for this, but we're going to do our best. So, yeah, so just glad that we can, you know, continue here and have the conversation. So any opening remarks, Isaiah?
Well, I appreciate spending time with you, Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with whoever else is out there. I want to review, and you're in charge here, but it is so good, just what his, what Dever's definition of discipling is. Discipling is deliberately doing spiritual good to someone so that he or she will be more like Christ. And that's just great. Like, I have read that now multiple times in this little book, and I don't know, I'm sure that people could probably ask you where to find this book. They could get it themselves from the
Zion. Yeah, we have so many copies here.
It's such
church.
A good book.
Yeah, you know, it's such a good book. It's pretty short. Yeah.
Really, I was just talking to you, Francis, about if you've read it through with your kids, thinking about reading it through with my kids. This is a neat little book. But that definition of discipling, deliberately doing spiritual good to someone so that he or she will be more like Christ. So in the table of contents, part one is what is discipling, and part two is where should we disciple,
mm-hmm.
and that leads us to what this chapter is.
That's right.
Yeah. So where should we disciple?
Yeah. Where should we disciple? Yeah. So here we are, and this chapter is going to focus on the local church being the place where discipling takes place, and then we're going to have more conversations about how we disciple and some of the considerations, you know, practical things that we should be keeping in mind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is a timely conversation because, well, and I think it'll unravel itself as we talk through. But just even as in our church, the last few weeks, we've been having our foundations class talk about these very things. You know, what is the church, and you know, what is it that we believe? What are the truths that we hold on to? We're talking about the person that our church is really founded upon, established upon, the cornerstone being Jesus Christ himself, and what we do in the church. And a lot of what we do in the church is this very work of discipling. Mm-hmm. And so even a couple of weeks ago, we talked about missions and evangelism, mm-hmm. and local outreach. But all those things are kind of connected to this very topic of discipling. And even as, you know, even then last week in that class, Dr. Tom Furco talked about baptism and communion. And those are some things that we're going to talk about here because that was a big part of this chapter. And then even tomorrow.
So you're saying that baptism in the Lord's Supper has something to do with discipleship.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna. I think that's what we read. My eyes don't deceive me. I think
it's exciting.
That's what Jonathan.
I thought discipleship was just like getting together over coffee and talking about how you want to grow.
That's a part of it. So, but yes, man, you're leading right into it. Isaiah. So, and yeah, and then, but just getting back to that class too, the very last thing that, and then Huey's going to talk about this on Sunday, are ways that we can grow in maturity and in obedience in the church. So I just, all to say, why am I bringing that up is because all these things kind of overlap, they kind of touch on each other. Body life really does involve discipling. And we are, I think what we said is, if we're not a church that disciples, we're not really a church.
Yeah.
If we're not, in the same way, if we can, if we don't have the gospel, we're not a church. If we don't, if we're not meeting together as a body and hold fast to, the truths about who Jesus is, we're not a church. And so in the same way, we want to get this right about discipling and to know, how to do it, where to do it. So that's why this next hour is important. So,
yeah.
So, and yeah, we will talk about the ordinances. But just I was thinking about, and I'm just working my way through the chapter itself. And it was a good opening hook that Dever, shared about navigators. So navigators is a parachurch ministry, not within the church, but it's para, meaning like beside, is how it was explained. It's a ministry outside the church that really, came about and has grown and developed because of the absence of discipling in the local church. So, which is interesting to me because, I remember in college, I remember navigators being around. I hear about people really coming to faith and growing through navigators type ministries. So, and I would say even my own kids in college, I've talked about and participated in events that have to do with parachurch ministries like navigators.
Sure.
So, I think in a lot of ways, very grateful to God that those exist. Again, many people have come to faith, have grown through them. But yeah, I guess
online preaching, like Grace to You or...
That's right.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
You're like, it's not like one-on-one person, but there's... Are we being discipled by those?
Yeah. And then even
is that what discipleship is?
That's right. And then even in our church now, I know that there's many here, especially the ladies. They have Bible study fellowship, or I forget the other one called, but like there are other ministries where ladies from other churches they get together, they read and pray and study the Bible, which are good things. But it does say something about the local church here. And just a question about, what does that say about the state of the local church that these parachurch ministries exist?
Yeah.
And, is there anything for the local church to consider and respond to with the proliferation of, parachurch ministries like navigators?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like it is... easy to think, and I don't know. I mean, so with parachurch ministries, there's some that help the local church do what they exist to do well. So, here, Nine Marks Ministry is an example of that. This little discipling book that we're reading says at the top, Nine Marks Building Healthy Churches. They're not doing discipling for Cornerstone Bible Church. But they provided a resource that is helping us to learn about discipleship. So there's a way that parachurch ministries can help churches disciple well. But then there's also times when parachurch ministries, I think, are trying to fill in the gap. We recognize that this is not happening in churches. And so we're going to try to do the discipleship or the evangelism that local churches are not doing because it needs to be done. And so I'm sure that probably people have felt and experienced that where and it maybe it's not always a critique of the local church, but maybe they go to a parachurch college ministry because they don't have any college kids at their church, right? So sometimes it's just because there's something that is not going on. But it does bring up an interesting question of of who does discipleship,
right?
So is if someone does most of their discipleship through a ministry like Navigator, and you're like, well, I meet and I pray and I memorize scripture passages, I don't think anyone would say that that replaces the local church. Some people might practically do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then is it okay to be like, and I go to church on Sunday? But most of my discipleship is through this ministry.
Yeah.
Or I attend church ABC, but all my friends and the real sharing of life takes place in BSF,
mm-hmm.
Bible Study Fellowship.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so then I guess being the local church, what is a good and proper way to think about those ministries and my place in the local church?
Yeah.
And I think that, at this, and where we are in Southern California, I think that, we can throw a rock and we're going to hit someone that, if they're believers, they have been influenced some way, by parachurch mm-hmm. ministry. So, but at the same time, there is a priority of the local church. So then, what is Dever try to get at here? And I think that's probably what the next question is, thinking about, what the role of the local church, what about the local church?
Well, can I pause you on that?
Yeah.
What would you mean by the priority of the local church? Even that's kind of a statement.
Yes,
right? Because I think a lot of people in the Christian lives, they went to a church. They didn't have any relationships there.
Yeah.
They didn't grow very much there. They appreciated the Sunday morning, but it didn't feel to them like much discipleship.
Right.
And then they get involved in a parachurch, maybe the first time in their life.
That's true.
They're like, wow, I'm overcoming sin and there's accountability. I'm memorizing scripture and I'm reading the Bible with someone.
Right.
Where do you get this idea of the priority of the local church?
Yeah, so this is awesome. So, and again, this is unscripted. So we're just, Isaiah and I are really just opening this book and talking through it. But I think that's part of the discussion is how much of a priority should the local church be placed in our lives mm-hmm. as Christians. And what I'm reading here is that the claim that Dever is making is that the church should take priority. Mm-hmm. And I think he makes this statement, and I'm gonna ask you to elaborate on the statement here. But he's saying that the church is not the environment for discipling, but it is the discipler through three means, through preaching, through the ordinances. So that's where the baptism and communion come in, through discipline. And so there is a structure, there is an architecture, there's a framework for discipling in the local church, but it's really not just a framework. It's not just the bones, but it's the whole entire world. I mean, the flesh of discipling, using that metaphor, I guess, is also incorporated in discipling. Mm-hmm. So that's those are the claims.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Those are the statements.
Right.
And talking through, what does that all mean, Isaiah?
Yeah, right. because those are some pretty big claims that kind of get to the heart of what we think discipleship is.
Yeah.
Right? Because we often think it is very, well, we could use the word personal.
Yes.
But I'm not saying that these other things we're talking about are not personal.
Yeah, individual.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It is individual or a small group.
Yeah.
Right? Tailored, intimate.
Yeah.
And we don't really think about discipleship being to think about it being corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you start thinking about how church discipline is part of discipleship
mm-hmm.
or how membership is part of discipleship, or Lord's Supper, or, I mean, like it's almost like saying, and I don't know if there's, I can't come up with a good analogy soon enough, but it's like, who, like there's an, there's a fold, mm-hmm. right? So I guess it's a sheep analogy.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fold, and the sheep belong in a fold.
Mm-hmm.
And are the sheep part of this fold?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, I think the big argument he's making is that discipleship happens in a church.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what the definition of a church is. Mm-hmm. A church is a group of disciples. Now that's not the only thing that a church is, because there needs to be eldership, there needs to be, but ultimately it is people who have all through baptism committed to saying I am a disciple of Christ, and when they are struggling to be a disciple, people are going to minister to them until they're no longer willing to live like a disciple, and then there's church discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, and it's pretty big here. Again, I wish I had a better... But it's kind of like an identity question.
Yeah.
Know, like, am I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, am I a disciple?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're talking about discipleship in, like, how it can function in some locations. And a lot of times we think about discipleship of, like, am I a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does the Bible answer that question of what a Christian is? There is... Have you been regenerated? Have you put your faith in Christ? But there's also these corporate questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where he's starting.
Yeah.
Is like, there's these corporate questions about discipleship.
Yeah. No, and it really turns our world upside down, I mm-hmm. think. I mean, this whole book has been, right? Because right. we've been thinking about the Christian life and how we feel, especially in our Western American society, that it feels like an individual thing, like I make this profession, I mm-hmm. confess Christ, and I'm right. that makes me a Christian, and
right.
we live in a very individualistic society, you know, looking out right. for what serves me.
Baptism right? is a service that churches offer, but that doesn't unite me to that church.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, there are churches you could go and get baptized right then.
Yes, right.
And never
yeah.
go back to that church again.
Right, so it's less, and that's why, it's funny, because I've, I don't know how many times I've read this book and then have conversations about this book, but it's really, like, after this last iteration, really, it crystallized in my mind, like, the importance of the local church as yeah. a corporate body. Like, and so this example, like, yeah. In baptism, it's, we think about baptism, it's a public testimony. It's like my own testimony to the world.
Right.
And but it's also the means where people are brought into the church, into
right.
a corporate body. So definitely, I know Tom did a great job about teaching this on Sunday, that it is a public profession. And then, you know, there are thoughts about, you know, what it symbolizes, the metaphor of being, you know, washed from sin, mm-hmm. death to life. All those things, very true for the individual. And that's why an hour for Tom wasn't enough, because there's so much more to say.
Yeah.
But Tom, you did a great job, buddy. So appreciate you. But at the same time, there's just so much more to say, because right. it's also, we're being baptized into a community. That's why you do it right. in front of people.
And we've so lost that as part of a church
yeah.
that people can, and we think, and maybe there are people who are listening who have not been baptized, but who have lived a truly saved Christian life
sure.
for many years.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where it's kind of difficult to recapture what discipleship is when
yeah.
it's so, when being a Christian has become such an individual thing.
Yeah.
And we know that God works in individuals, but it's to make them part of a body.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
Right. So it would be very normal for someone to be kind of struggling thinking about this. If like that's not integral to their being a Christian,
mm-hmm.
if the church is actually just an option,
yeah,
instead
right.
of like I can't say cornerstone, but it is a non-negotiable
mm-hmm.
what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah,
yeah, not the means,
yeah.
but
yeah. So I, yeah. and that's why it's. I mean, just I mean,
maybe not separate
just,
from means.
Just though. On this yeah. point alone, yeah. It's worth the discussion on how this instinct of our Christian lives being individual,
right,
is something that we really have to like. Let's just, and not that anyone would dismiss it, but not just gloss over it, right. Because it is something that's very much entrenched in our, not just in our church culture, mm-hmm. the Christian, but just in our overall culture in Western society, like being here in America, in Southern California, right. Like our whole lives are built around doing things that benefit us individually.
You don't want to say consumer culture, but it's kind of a,
well, yeah, that's,
it's a good analogy.
No, that's really right, what it is, you know. Yeah. So that, and that's one of the thoughts that I was thinking.
If
about
I'm not getting discipleship here, I'm going to go somewhere else and get discipleship.
Right.
Like, but then what's sad is then you just lost a discipler from your church.
Right.
When someone leaves the church to go get discipleship, then they're often, maybe, not discipling. And then the church isn't aware of its need either.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where, you know, if it sounds clunky, church, whoever's listening, it is, because it is clunky, in that it's not natural for us. It is something that is an instinct for all of us to really think about our lives as, you know, our Christian lives as individual lives, you know, when we think about...
We don't have much of a corporate identity outside of our family, right?
Right, yeah.
So this thing, this beautiful thing in the body of Christ, of us being the bride of Christ, it is very intentional in Scripture. Scripture spends a lot of time talking about it. And yet it's really easy to lose because we're just so used to an individualized existence where it's almost like maybe it's, and it's funny, I mean, it is a little bit like healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
We just go and get what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And instead he talks about like that this is an authoritative place. Like the church has the responsibility of affirming whether someone is part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not really a disciple if the church doesn't say that you're a disciple.
Yeah,
so which just sounds crazy saying that.
Yeah, no,
that's, like, that's not like how I grew up, really.
Yeah, I mean, inherent in discipling, right? So we're trying to help others. That's why it's always I'm grateful that you started off this conversation defining what discipleship is, because discipleship is helping others do good to follow Christ, right? Essentially, you know, like I know there's lots of ways to define it, but like essentially, we're helping others follow Christ. Yeah. We're helping each other to follow Christ, encouraging each other. So
it doesn't sound like you need a church at all to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But if you press on it more, as we're helping each other do good, because we are in the flesh, we sin, we need help, which inherent in that is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Where then when you introduce accountability, then there's also these ideas about authority, because
it's a court authority. Accountability really doesn't work well without authority.
Exactly.
Like
mutual
accountability is kind of nice when it works.
Right.
But a lot of times, I think a lot of people have experienced mutual accountability just does not work great.
Right.
You're like, let's just be accountable.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, exactly. Until it doesn't work, you know, until you don't like it.
So yeah, then, right.
That's why there is
authority. It has to do with accountability. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how many people do, well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, how many people do we know where, you know, like the word is clear, there's clear guidance and direction on how to obey, and in that way they're being discipled, the word is being instructed to them, but there is no sense of accountability to actually follow through and obey, and there's no recognition of anyone's authority over that person, and so they, you know, they simply fall away.
And it's kind of, right, because... is it really, boy, and I don't know, but is it really authority if you can just opt out anytime you want?
Right.
That's not really authority, right? Like the government has authority because we don't really just get to opt out anytime we want.
Right.
Like it's still there.
It actually has authority.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It like authority is a real thing. And so that's a really interesting place when we talk about discipleship, because I don't think that it's typical we start thinking about authority. It becomes like, I can offer you something if you like it. And the person's like, well, I think I like it. I think I'll take it. And then you enter into a discipleship relationship.
Right.
And so that's so different when you think about the authority that the local church has.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, the authority. We're not even talking about authority of an elder. We're just talking about what is a church.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, man. So thank you, church, for, you know, whoever's listening, tracking with us, you know, as we're working through some of these ideas. So let me just come back to that claim then, and maybe you could help explain this, of that statement. And it's a big one, so it's helpful just to tease it out and to understand it better. But the claim is made that the church isn't just the environment, isn't just a place where discipling is, but it actually is the discipler. So what is Deborah talking about?
I think that you should answer that question. Do you have an answer for that? I mean, and we've talked about different things he has said, as through baptism, it affirms credible professions. Through the Lord's Supper, it declares the Lord's death and makes the many into one, which is a great sentence. Mm-hmm. And through excommunication or church discipleship, it removes anyone whose life unrepentantly contradicts his or her profession. So it is the discipler,
mm-hmm.
in that it defines, the church defines what the relationship is, right? Like the church, like by definition, is as a corporate group saying, you have a verifiable testimony. Mm-hmm. Come and do discipleship here.
Mm-hmm.
Do discipleship, be a disciple with other disciples. And together we are going to enjoy the fellowship together. We're going to proclaim Christ together. We're going to be fed on God and his word together. And when someone is straying, we're going to say, you're not living like a disciple. We have to warn you. We're going to urge you. We're going to plead with you. Don't leave.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see when we talk about like that corporate, as it is not an environment. It's not just like the place where that church has a coffee stand and we get to have, we do discipleship there,
mm-hmm.
or we had some great conversations. All those things are wonderful things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that the church is a organism,
mm-hmm.
right? It is alive. And so there really aren't, like, if there is a Christian out there who's not part of a church, they just missed where discipleship happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
sad to be there. I've been there. You don't flourish there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's horrible. Like, I was just talking to our kids about how when someone moves or goes away to school, is there a good church there?
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's not a good church there, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
mm-hmm.
you're a missionary, Evan, Caroline, and then it's okay. But even they are starting off connected to a church.
Right, right.
And so I don't know if that gets to your question.
No, I mean, I think
I was flummoxed a little bit. Because
no, it's okay.
Is, you know.
Yeah, no, and I'm just...
I mean, he says it, but it does, the church itself, as the disciple, the church does like the very beginning things.
Right.
And the big things.
Yeah, and I think
without which there's no discipleship.
Right, and I think some of us might just recognize, like, yeah, like that's just part of church, like, and I think what he describes here as the means. So, like, if we're talking about the means for discipleship and the place or the environment, so then I think we can think of like sometimes a church being the environment itself.
Right,
like,
right. Totally.
You know, you go to Cornerstone,
yeah.
You know, your disciple, there's people there. Yeah. There's, you know, you have some confidence that you're going to find like-minded believers, and then, you know, you could have one-on-one, small group, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's, sometimes you can think of churches like that being merely the environment, but I think
launching place to discipleship, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a platform.
Like
itself.
I met someone there. We're going to be discipled.
Right.
But he's talking about something different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's talking about something different. And that's really where it is here, like the focus being on the preaching, the ordinances, church discipline, right? So the preaching, and I think if you think about like what we're called to do as people, and he describes as it, you know, being that, you know, we are here to, you know, to love one another, right? So the way that, we're marked as a church is by our love. And so, I mean, and he just, he articulates that well, is that where else can we best love people well, you know, besides the local church? So it's through the local church, through the preaching, that we're going to be pointed to the scriptures, mm-hmm. that we're going to hear the scriptures, mm-hmm. that through the ministry of the word and the spirit, that it's going to, you know, change us, it's going to transform us, it's going to make us more like Christ and help us encourage one another. So that, that preaching itself, that takes place in the local church. That's not just like a side element or peripheral element. That's like central to the local church. You're only going to find that in the local church. So that's part of the, one of the main means that the local church
disciples. And it's interesting you say that you're only going to find that in a local church. I think that's a little bit of the confusion of the age.
Because you can find that
anywhere.
Right. Right.
You know, we don't have to come on Sunday morning to listen to Pastor Joshua.
Yeah.
We can just do it.
Yeah.
All week long.
Man. Okay. So like that's, that's where I want to, press on that more. Press on that more. Cause I think that a lot of us, obviously we have our favorite preachers, mm-hmm. and you know, we all love, you know, our, you know, current modern and our reformed evangelical, you know, celebrity preachers, you know, like, we all, a lot of us have come to this church because, you know, you and Joshua came from Master Seminary. Mm-hmm. Master Seminary, you know, was led by John MacArthur. Everyone's loved John MacArthur. So everyone thinks like whoever, you know, came from the Master Seminary, they're going to hear a John MacArthur like. That's why they're here. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to like Piper, or they're going to like Sproul, you know, Mark Dever, or whoever else, you know. Yeah. Everyone has their favorite preachers.
Yeah.
But just on that point, I know, like, what would you say?
Well, I mean, but just kind of thinking about, is hearing the word discipleship alone, mm-hmm. right? And in a way, it is. It's part of discipleship, right?
Yes.
But when we're talking about what the church is, like the church is the discipler, something special happens on Sunday morning.
And so, what's the difference then?
Briefly, where Sunday morning and the worship services of the church are important,
mm-hmm.
right? And you were talking before we started to get the recording about corporate worship,
mm-hmm.
right? Something special is happening there, and so it's neat to as our corporate worship service is growing to include corporate confession and corporate gospel encouragement, and we were already singing, but what were we doing singing? Were we thinking singing is discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it is true that we are returning to God, but we're not discipling God, mm-hmm. right? So, but it's not like he needs that either. He is eternally decreed that he would enjoy that, but that we are discipling as we sing, and we're discipling mm-hmm. as we listen, and we're discipling as we sing the doxology at the end, mm-hmm. like
so you affirm, you know, statements and, you know, the scripture we repeat back to one another,
as we submittedly listen, like I wonder if that is what we always do when we're in our car or on a walk listening to a sermon. It's more than our minds being engaged. I mean, like we are really submitting, right? We are corporately submitting. We are being discipled as Pastor Joshua preaches and says, this is what God's word says. And to the point that his sermon reflects what God's word says, right? Which, praise the Lord for Pastor Joshua. We are corporately submitting.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is not listening to a sermon.
Mm-hmm. It's more than that.
Like that's corporate discipleship.
So that's what you do when, so to clarify then,
yeah.
when I'm listening to a sermon, from, you know, some preacher. It doesn't have to mean anyone, right? Yeah. Like I get it online and I'm listening to it. I'm merely listening to a sermon. And that is that obviously I'm going to learn something.
Yeah.
You know, the word is going to be spoken. That's going to have an effect. Yeah. It's going to impact my heart.
It's wonderful.
And that will have a measure of discipling me.
Sure.
But there's something that is very unique and specific that happens here.
You are not in a member of that church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was recently listening to Martin Lloyd-Jones,
mm-hmm.
who is dead.
Mm-hmm.
He is not my pastor. I'm mm-hmm. not a member of that church. Is there some kind of discipling that's going on? Well, I am. I mean, I'm like there enjoying it. Like my heart is being moved. It's interesting to know exactly what that is. It's great. Like, we can get together and listen to sermons. We can, I mean, all that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the body of Christ that we're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that is not God's discipling mechanism in this world, which is the church,
mm-hmm.
which is the local church. Yeah.
So there's something.
Not the universal church.
Yeah. So there is something about us being here.
Yeah.
On a Sunday morning, or being together on a Sunday morning with the local assembly.
It's really pretty cool. It doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're, but that's also the beauty of it.
It's not
tied to the building at all.
Right. Yeah. It's when God's people come together and they pray together. They say things to God together. They sing to God together. They affirm statements about God from the word together. They are instructed through the preaching from the word together. Right. So that all of that corporate experience is discipling that God intended.
And either they come as disciples, or let's just talk in broadest like categories. They come as disciples, or they come as those who haven't been saved yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know we have guests and they're always welcome, whether relatives or people who are church looking. But to be part of this body is to say, I am a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. It's not to say, I go to church.
Mm-hmm. No, right.
And
right,
I'm
going
to do discipleship on the side.
Yeah.
Right? Like, now, that doesn't mean that there's not other kinds of discipleship. I mean, really, it is very challenging reading this book. And there is, you know, we want to have a culture of single folks living with families to learn how to serve Christ and sharing the gospel with international students and hospitality, and there being lots of invites to people's houses and the members' biblical counseling one another. All of that is discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
But that is done by people who are part of a church.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just really trying to like retrain ourselves a little bit, relearn that the individual has been so emphasized in our Christian culture, and really biblically we would be like, well, you were baptized into a church.
Well, actually that goes into another thing. So because like one of the areas that features, right? So there's the preaching, but also baptism. What does baptism then have to do with discipling in the local church?
So then baptism is you're publicly saying, I am a disciple of Christ. Like that is, as much as we can tell, I mean, like that is like what membership class is,
mm-hmm.
right? Like in the early church, baptism was I am now part of this church. Like I am part of this church where discipleship happens.
Mm-hmm.
It was costly. And when in church culture it becomes less costly, becomes like normalized, you do more training of those baptismal candidates to make sure that they really understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what makes a church, is those who've been baptized.
Now, let me ask you, let me push on this a little bit. What if someone says, well, when I got baptized, aren't I being baptized, entering in sort of like a member into the universal you know, lowercase c yeah. Catholic Church? Isn't that what yeah. is happening?
Yeah. Is that what is happening? That may have been what you thought was happening. Uh-huh. It may have been what churches or revival sermons practiced. But biblically, you would not have had someone baptized who wasn't part of a wasn't part church. Of that church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And the exception would be the Ethiopian eunuch, who kind of had a confusing place mm-hmm. as he is then like, well, what do I do now? I mean, he has to go back, and I imagine he's going to try to find Christians as soon as he can, mm-hmm. right? Or bring some over.
That would be the natural.
Yeah, right. But that's a really, really...
Yeah.
Rare exception.
That's not the norm.
That was not the intent. And I think that that could still be done in an emergency, right? Sure. Like let's say a student is all set to go away to a college and or join the military, and they get saved and they want to get baptized before they go to boot camp. I'm like, mm-hmm. awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to walk along with them to transfer, in a sense, like we give them a quick membership here.
Yeah.
So that they then are members in another church.
Yeah.
And where discipleship happens.
Right.
So it is sad when churches lose the idea that this is where discipleship happens. Because when they lose that responsibility, when they think that discipleship can just be a parachurch thing.
Right.
It loses its own identity.
Yeah, so that's why yeah. it's really hard to fully appreciate how much we have to rewire
yeah.
our brains and how we think about how we live our lives,
yeah.
you know, because in our culture, it is very individualistic.
Right.
And like we've been saying this, you know, I know we were repeating ourselves here, but it's, for me, it's, I feel like my mind is being blown out a little bit here, because it is very not much right. like my instinct at all to be joined to a body and to have these relationships and to have accountability and yeah. have this authority, but then to recognize it's being a Christian, yeah. being a disciple isn't something that is just personal for me,
right?
Like my own personal growth, my own personal transformation in being like Christ is actually a part of something
right. Life in our corporate body. Happens in the local church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That is really big.
Yeah. So we talked about some of the things like preaching,
yeah.
the corporate service. We talked about baptism. How about communion? Like, I'm going to tee it up for you. How should I think about communion then differently? Because now I used to think, communion is something, and Tom did talk about this, we practice, remembering Christ's sacrifice for us, his broken body, his death and resurrection. Yeah. So there is, and I know there's so much to say yeah. about, whether it's, and Tom did talk about it, being more of a remembrance and memorial, mm-hmm. and then we can yeah. get into, how much, there's transubstantiation, co-substantiation, spiritual presence. There's so much to think about.
Yeah.
But like, we're forgetting this aspect of how much it really does, reflect our, participation yeah. being in a local corporate body. So what, right. what is,
well, that? And the fact that like, the Lord's Supper is beautiful. Because Jesus launched, well, for many reasons, but Jesus launched it from a special meal, right? And this is not a drive-through meal. Like, this is not one you just eat as a solitary person in your car by yourself. We may have had some weird, and we didn't do weird communion during COVID. We yeah. waited till we could do it together.
Yeah.
But you could imagine someone just getting the elements going through a drive-through. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just this personal thing of only deep reflection, where I think about my sins
mm-hmm.
and Christ's sacrifice. And those are good things to be thinking about, but we're doing more there. Mm-hmm. We are publicly proclaiming his death, And something that we have missed with our COVID capsules of Lord's Supper, and for newer members, they don't know that we as a church used to pass around a loaf of bread and tear off a portion, and there's a visual symbol there. And yes, it is Jesus's body given for us. It is his body, is representing his body, but we are partakers of that same body. And so we share something together. And Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 10:17, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And so that one bread is the body of Christ, but it's also like symbolized in us partaking of the same loaf. And so I'm pretty sure that that is something we hope to bring back with our Lord's Supper, is tearing off bread and to bring out that we are doing this as a corporate body. Like, this is a meal we are sharing together as we together are celebrating our Lord and proclaiming his death. That is corporate discipleship going on there. We are all affirming, that's my Savior. He gave himself for me. We can do it almost like with blinders on at times, and maybe a danger of being so self-focused. And I know that sometimes if someone's not enjoying a walk with the Lord, they might think of the Lord's Supper as a time to kind of get clean. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where it's like I gotta go deep and get all my sins exposed so I can enjoy Christ's forgiveness again. I think that's really dangerous because we have to be careful of making it a work. Mm-hmm. Not that it's bad to be reflective of, like, is there sin going on in my life? But we can make it so individualized. It is interesting. I think most people know that this is a portion of discipleship that they can't do at home on their own. Most people, I don't think, try to do it outside of a local church. They know they just can't, at Starbucks, have the Lord's Supper with their friends they're meeting for discipleship. But we come to church and we kind of take the discipleship out of it.
Right.
We just make it like this very personal sacrament, rather than...
like it's just me before God.
Right. Instead of there were fellowship offerings in the Old Testament where they would eat the meal right there. And I think that that is at least some of the picture here, is we are eating the meal of Christ together. This should be a really big part of our month.
Yeah, so that togetherness, like, just so I think it's one of those things. And I know that over the years, I know that's with intention and deliberately. I know as Pastor Josh leads us, he reminds us, and it's incumbent on us, you know, to consider those things. Yeah. But I know, it is such our default to think about, you know, how is this affecting me personally? Like, how does this involve me on my own, you know, and not thinking about how this plays into the, you know, to larger corporate.
And it's not bad to, I mean, we are individuals, but there's also the sense of this, that something beautiful is happening here, that we are all at the same moment. And I don't know that biblically it has to be at the same moment, but I think you would. Jesus took the cup, right? And now that cup, it would have been a pass around. The bread, though, would have been eaten at the same time, I think. But we get to do this together, right? Like there is fellowship together. Yes. Anyways.
Yeah. No.
But
I think
need to think about that being essential to discipleship. It really is kind of like you can have families that no one eats together. But I think that most people realize that's a loss. That there's kind of a sadness. I think people, as their kids like grow up and get older, they kind of miss that.
Yeah.
All being around at the table together. That's what we as a church get to do.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, so what are those, we think about like structures where togetherness and community are kind of embedded. And even now, even family structures, you know, may not even, like, it's like almost a callback to like what has been done historically, but that's actually something that has been inherent, it feels like, throughout, different generations,
It's it's neat that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper for us, because it really pushes against the idea that we can just get the rest on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, this is really calling us together.
Mm-hmm.
We know the Lord's Supper is not something we do on our own. Baptism is not an individual thing. We don't just get a couple people together and have a baptism service. We don't just church discipline someone like one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the Lord has built in these safeguards as kind of the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's the door. It's the table. it's a home,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the door of baptism, the door of church discipline, like, sadly, but inside is a table,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. the ongoing preaching of the word, where we are clearly shown this is essential to discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So we are we're kind of close to time.
We are.
And yeah, there's more to talk about, but there is. I think as we kind of wrap up here, what would you say for us as a church? I mean, we're obviously, we're learning a lot of things at the same time right now. Like, we're just learning what it means to be a local church. We are instituting some things even in our corporate worship time and our Sunday morning time,
mm-hmm.
to kind of get at these ideas about worshiping in a community, yeah. as a family, together, participating together, not it being focused on us just passively, yeah. in our chairs, listening to a sermon,
yeah.
or our only place where we're doing something is when we're singing, but it was actually through the service itself that we are engaging and affirming with the word, mm-hmm. Together. So as you think about this chapter, yeah. What is just some parting, last comments, to kind of summarize some of the big thoughts here that Dever is trying to reinforce, with us.
Yeah. Well, he has a neat phrase that that moving into the book of Acts and the epistles, we find the apostles' discipling program. Like, that's a great phrase.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles' discipling program is the church.
Mm-hmm.
It is baptizing. It is the Lord's Supper. It is not forsaking the assembly. It's it is equipping. Mm-hmm. It is being submitted to hear from God,
mm-hmm.
in His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that there is a discipling program.
Mm-hmm.
If we came on Sunday morning and saying, I'm coming to God's discipling program, I want to grow this morning, like that would change our expectation,
mm-hmm.
that would change our responsibility, that would change, perhaps, I won't say it would change for any one person, it could change,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, if we were like, what we're doing here is essential to me becoming more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, we just have to fight against, and maybe it's tough in an age where you can listen to a sermon, you can Spotify this morning worship playlist,
yeah.
you can do so many of those portions on your own, it feels like it's just individualized,
right?
But that's a great phrase.
The world we live in.
This
yeah.
is the apostles' discipling program.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not so much you know, like, it could be that Navigators did what they did because the church wasn't discipling,
right?
Totally possible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, the context was like, they were out to sea, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
they're physically detached from the church, so they had to have a yeah. means, right? But that,
But there could also be that maybe we just have had the wrong idea about what we're supposed to do at church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's probably not a or, but if you are to say, this is God's instituted discipling program for me, what a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know whoever's listening, you probably have an idea. Like, it's, you know, on the surface, of course, my local church is the place where discipling should be for me. But yeah, this isn't rocket science, right?
Like, yeah.
I think it's not super complicated, but it is helpful to really, you know, to dig deep a little bit here and to think, you know, why is this emphasis needing to be made? Yeah. And it's because we do have a certain way about our culture where we can tend to pursue things that are more individual focused, right?
Or like you don't, so you can imagine when we have our cupboards full of snacks, you may not value the family dinner as much. Right, and we live in a world where there's so many snacks.
Yeah. That's a really good. Did you just snacks, come up with that right now?
Get snacks all the time.
Yeah.
But the family's got to come to dinner.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because, and it's not that there's not snacks now. We don't want to pretend that there's not. But that this is what it means to be part of a family. So that is where the discipleship happens. Now, that's not saying that families like need a family dinner, but for us as a church, God's given us a weekly family dinner.
And what would you say then if, let's say, hey, Francis and Isaiah, I've been listening to you guys. I'm not a part of Cornerstone. I appreciate good preaching. I appreciate, you know, this podcast. And, but my own local church, I'm not really feeling too good about. Like, what would you say to that? Like, you know, not so. I think we're talking about Cornerstone here, and so we, you know, as elders here, these are things that we're thinking about, so that we can create not just the structure, but, you know, like, it's just not the bones, but the flesh, you know, so that we can create, you know, so that we're able to have the preaching and our ordinances, the baptism, the Lord's Supper, church discipline, your church services, all of those, we're trying to optimize and enhance the experience of us worshiping the Lord together, and and having those things participate our discipleship, right? So that's what our focus is on as Cornerstone. I think just kind of a little bit of a wrinkle here.
Yeah.
If you're not part of Cornerstone and there's no way to be part of Cornerstone, and you're like, you know what? I do have my local church. I'm not really feeling it. What would you say to that person? Yeah.
Well, so like, that's a big question. So someone could not be feeling it because some of these essential components are not there.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could be at a church that, like, I'm not, like, if you're at a church where the word isn't taught, and I don't mean like word isn't taught just like Pastor MacArthur does, but like where you're like, we were never in the word. If you don't have a church where it's known who the family is, like where there is not a valuing of baptism or church discipline, it's just different people randomly associating every week. I'm just saying that there's different things that could really make that be a church. That is falling short of what a church is.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be pretty confusing discipleship in an environment like that, where the word's not being taught, where people are not hold to live like disciples, where it's confusing who the disciples are and who the disciples aren't, or who the true Christians are.
Mm-hmm.
There are churches like that, and there's times where you may need to consider finding a different church.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of churches that are doing the basics of those well, and or not even well, but they're doing the basics,
mm-hmm.
right? Where they really value if you are a Christian and if you're committed to being there and are doing their best to have God's word being taught, and having the best to have biblical songs, and we have to be careful of a critical attitude that would dismiss that, when really, if that were the only church on the face of the planet, you could be discipled on that Sunday morning service.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and maybe just, so the last question.
So there's both extremes.
Yeah. And I know we're like, we're over time, but just this last question. I think this is your prime to answer this question. So for, I'm smiling and you're smiling, but so for those that are listening at Cornerstone, and we spent the whole hour talking about the local church and discipling, last word for them then, as you think about, they're like, okay, Francis, Isaiah, I'll listen to the podcast. I'm all in.
Yeah.
What should I do? What should I do after hearing this, after reading this? What are things that I should be top of mind as I think about discipling in the local church?
So like, that's where this this conversation of where discipleship happens is one of two chapters, and the next includes pastors and members, so that there's more, right? We're not saying that this is all.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, to say Cornerstone is my church, let's say we're talking to members, to say what happens on Sunday morning is essential to my discipleship. This is how God does discipleship. And it's not the only way, but it is inseparable. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to make it a priority being there. I'm going to be prepping the night before to make the most out of the weekly discipleship. I mean, it's kind of neat to think about it being a weekly discipleship. I'm going to be purifying my heart of known sin so I can be as teachable as possible. By God's grace, I'm going to be thinking about that message afterwards. I'm going to sing with gusto so that people are encouraged. I'm going to come and be participating in corporate discipleship, not as a consumer, like do I give passively it 4 or 5 stars on Yelp on the way out, which is sarcastic, sorry, but like, but like, this is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we do call them worship services. I'm trying to think if the New Testament calls what we do on Sunday morning worship service, and I don't think so. But when you think about worship and whether you have the context of other religions' worship services, idolatrous worship service, Old Testament worship, there is the sense that we are doing something special corporately.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to worship God together, and this should shape our week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to say, I am coming to worship God, humbled to listen to him in his word, singing truths about him. If we feel like it's not doing much for me, we have some serious questions to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because raising the stakes, I think reveal, like when we talk about it being where discipleship happens, that changes our expectation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like,
yeah, and that's
it's
why
not like whether I liked this meal.
Right.
It is, I've been working hard. This is the meal for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get all the nutrients that I can.
Right. Yeah. Let me lean in.
Yeah.
Let me actively, you know.
And how cool then you get to spend the rest of the week talking to your brothers and sisters by God's grace as you give them calls or emails about the corporate discipleship.
Yeah. And that's the work. And that is the flesh and bones of discipleship, right? So anyway, we've spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
And we thought we were going to
hopefully haven't said the same thing again and
no,
again.
But I think it's those things that we do need to repeat.
It's challenging to think about.
Yeah.
Like this is thinking, like, it's just really easy to grow up in such an individualized culture.
Yeah.
And some of us have very individualized kind of Christian experiences. We maybe did some church hopping, dissatisfied, left for a while, did a campus Bible study. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where this is a new kind of thinking.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're thankful that we have the Spirit to help us. And we have more to talk about in the next few chapters. So thank you for hanging on with us. Again, just you know, going through chapter 5, the local church in this book. Next week, this is a teaser. We're going to talk about, you know, the pastors and members and how they are to participate in discipling in the local church. So thank you for listening, and we'll sign off here, and we'll talk again next time. All right, see everybody.
Thanks.